Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Why? Why did you do it? Well, what impelled you to put aside the instinct for self-preservation and risk your lives to take these cliffs? What inspired all the men of the armies that met here? We look at you and somehow we know the answer. It was faith and belief. It was loyalty and love. The men of Normandy had faith that what they were doing was right, faith that they fought for all humanity, faith that a just God would grant them mercy on this beachhead or on the next.
81 years today in what was called Operation Overlord, D-Day, the liberation, the Allied liberation of occupied France began. And by May of 1944, you had nearly 3 million soldiers that had amassed and was preparing to do what was pretty much kind of the unthinkable at the point. At that point, it had never before had you seen anything like this. It was considered the largest amphibious invasion ever attempted, ever done. Just unbelievable, unbelievable history. And it's the 81st observation anniversary of that. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this first hour. And I know we got other stuff to discuss, but we got to talk about this. And we do this every year, and I think it's incredibly important to note this. We had, almost 3 million Allied troops that had assembled in southern England. And we had, I think at that point, 1,200 planes, one of the largest armadas in history. And even going into this, and I love talking about these stories of lesser known things. I was going to wear my Ghost Army shirt today. It's really hot, though. They had Operation Bodyguard. They had the Ghost Army. They had was the deception campaign that led up to this day. There were two different deception campaigns. You had Operation Bodyguard, you had the Ghost Army. After our soldiers were in, after they landed in Normandy and they went into France. But then you also had all of the lead up, the deception during the lead up, so that the Axis powers, that, you know, Germany, Nazi Germany, they didn't see what was happening. They didn't see the buildup. And the weather, gosh, the weather was so grim. Everything had to just hit perfectly. The timing, the weather. And before dawn, that's when Eisenhower gave that order. Operation Overlord is a go. And he addressed the troops that evening. And he said that you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months, and the eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and the prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you, and we will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. And then the next morning, 81 years ago today, you had 160,000 Allied troops that stormed about 50 miles, a 50-mile stretch of beach there. Not just beach, fortified coastline in Normandy. You had over 12,000 planes. You had something like almost 5,000 ships. And you had airborne dropping divisions into France in the early morning hours, making sure that they could seize control of key bridges, key roads, all behind enemy lines. And I think from the US, the UK, and Canada, you had 23,000 paratroopers. Of the landings, the bloodiest was Omaha Beach. U.S. forces. We had deadly terrain. You had underwater mines. You had, you know, these fortified bunkers in which Nazis could, they could pick off our troops as they were heading towards the sand, and super heavy losses. And yet we prevailed. It was like a war of attrition. Unfortunately, that was the tactic, and it had to be. You had over 9,000 Allied troops killed or wounded this day, 81 years ago. But we got our foot into France. And from there, we cracked the stronghold of Nazi Germany. The assault phase, was Operation Neptune. And it went all the way through June and was really about building up supplies. Push, 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 push inland. That was the whole goal. Inland from the beaches, interior France. This was a turning point, because there were a lot of grim losses, and it looked grim. You had the bombing of Britain. We saw what happened in Pearl Harbor in December. And we were up against a great evil. And we united and we pressed on and we fought. And we had a mission and we achieved that mission. There was no mission creep. There was no coddling. There was no identity politics. There was one identity. You were an Allied member. You were an American. You were a Brit. You were a Canadian. But you were a member of the Allied forces. And you were fighting against a great tyranny. A tyranny you could see. A tyranny that had faces. A tyranny that had a body count. 81 years ago today, the greatest generation that ever walked this planet saved this planet. And we owe them everything. Everything. The scale, the immense planning was unlike anything ever. We achieved the objective and we left. We moved on. And it's an amazing thing. I just don't know if that's something that can be done today, of that magnitude. There was a poem. It was written after World War I. Lawrence Binyon. And I loved one of the stanzas in it where it said, "They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old, and age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. And at the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them." I told you last year that one of my favorite stories from D-Day was the story of the bagpiper. Bill Millen, the personal piper of Lord Lovat. This is one of my favorite. There's so many amazing stories. They had a rule against bagpipes on the front line, and they were Scottish, and they were saying, "Yeah, well, that's for the Brits. that's for the English. We're Scottish." And he played the Road to Isles, and it became an amazing moment in D-Day history, because Lord Lovat had his personal piper playing. And everybody, the Germans, thought he was nuts. They called him the Mad Piper. They thought he was crazy. You had rounds whizzing by. People were blown up. And he played. He played to give courage. He played to give strength. He played for his men. It was just an amazing story. So welcome as we start this first hour of D-Day. Now, kind of yesterday felt like a different type of D-Day, a destruction day, divorce day.
There it is.
It's the season finale of MAGA. I don't even know how. Kane, how long did it go on?
Oh, man.
What do you mean? It's still going on, isn't it?
Well, are the tweets still coming in hot and fast?
I don't know. I haven't seen any new ones recently, but oh man, there was quite the dump of them yesterday.
Where do we start? So Elon Musk was critical of the Big Beautiful Bill. And then something, it went from there. He was critical of the Big Beautiful Bill. And then Trump criticized Musk. And then Musk criticized Trump. And oh my gosh, he dropped the Epstein stuff and was, oh my gosh. Can I just say, I don't think that he was an Epstein client. He banned him from Mar-a-Lago, and we'll talk more about that. He, like, banned him from everything. He was very critical of Epstein. He didn't like him. He thought he was a pervert. And if anything was going to come out, I mean, for crying out loud, you saw how those people were going crazy on the left in 2016. That would have come out. That would have been the first thing. But Musk had tweeted, time to drop the really big bomb. Trump is in the Epstein files. That's a real reason they've not been made public. Have a nice day, DJT. Oh, my gosh. Stop, Mom and Dad. Stop. Who gets custody of us? Who gets custody of the nation? I don't know. So it was a rough day yesterday because you have two of the biggest titans in this coalition that ended up fighting, and in a very public fashion, fighting in a very, very public fashion. And I wish that it would have been done all privately. Now, that's to say, we don't know what was done privately and what wasn't. I will say that. Like, we don't know if they had these conversations private and that, this ended up being kind of the consequence, all the falling out of that. You know, we don't know. But it ended up going public, and we live in a culture where people flex online. And it's been like that for a while. Yours truly is just as guilty of arguing online. I mean, I love fighting. I love it. It makes me happy. And Kane will attest to this. I'm a weirdo. Like, if somebody, you know, if some political squawk tries coming at me, squawking at me, oh my gosh, you just made my day. My heart fills with joy. I'm like the Grinch. My heart grows. And I just get all warm, fuzzy feelings, and it's amazing. And I'm like, yes. It's bad. We shouldn't be like it. And our leaders shouldn't do this. But it happened, and it is what it is. I also think, too, that dudes argue differently. And I saw some people saying, this is peak masculinity. Oh, shush up. Dudes argue differently. I do think that when you are a leader, you have an obligation to be a little bit more like Marcus Aurelius about it and a little bit less like Jerry Springer. We got to roll it back somehow. Both of these two dudes have done great things for this nation. I think Elon Musk, and I don't think this should be downplayed. I really do believe that Musk helped save speech in this country. I think he did. Especially with the acquisition of Twitter, now X, I think that he did a lot to save speech in this country. Because think about where we would be. We had a lot. It was the only platform at the time when he acquired it. He turned it into the only platform that wasn't, I think the algorithm blows right now, but at least they were working towards freeing speech. Whereas with Facebook and YouTube, my gosh, we get dinged on YouTube all the time. Like, if it's not for anti-speech reasons, like, I couldn't even play Eisenhower's speech on D-Day for you because they dinged us and said it was copywritten content. We can't even play that for you on air. I can't play for you a number of, like, famous speeches on D-Day. I can't play for you a lot of Patton stuff. I can't play, you know, the Eisenhower address that he gave to, I can't play that for you because it gets taken down. That's the stuff that, you know, you deal with. In addition to all of the times that people had their stuff taken down over COVID, the laptop, all that. My point is that Musk has done great things for this nation. Trump has led this nation through. I mean, the guy got shot at on stage, for crying out loud. They both did great things. It's not mutually exclusive. You don't have to pick a side. You don't. We're going to talk more about this here coming up. We got a lot to unpack today. Summer is all about making great memories. Backyard barbecues, road trips, lake days, even just relaxing in a hammock with a good book. Spending time with friends and family, catching sunset views. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. It's kind of hard to enjoy the simple moments when you're in pain. So here's a thought. Try Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made with natural ingredients. And unlike pain meds that just mask it, Relief Factor works to reduce, even eliminate your pain for good. So whether you're spending time at the lake or chasing your kids or grandkids or just enjoying a summer stroll, Relief Factor can help you feel better better, move better, and do more of what you love. Reclaim your summer. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF to get the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Today in sports ball, Aaron Rodgers has confirmed Pittsburgh Steelers' move in a $20 million contract announcement. I think I'm going to play football because you can make a lot of millions of dollars with football. And imagine it. I could play football. Sure. Know nothing about it. Just want my uniform to be cute. And I want, like, really good leather for my football. I can do anything. Girl, I can do anything. If a man can tuck and say he's a chick, then surely I can do this. He was let go by the Jets at the end of last season. He was considering retirement. How old is he? How old is Aaron Rodgers?
41.
Oh. So he, now he's not. He's going to the Steelers. So I guess, is that considered old for football or no?
41, yeah.
Oh, is it? Ooh. Well, Tom Brady's like in his 40s. That's Tom Brady, though. Okay, yeah. Oh my gosh, no. Why are we doing this? Madonna is apparently going to really, I don't care. A new Ray of Light remix album.
Oh boy.
Get a ray of light. Oh my gosh. Two rare, Doomsday fish. So these Doomsday fish, whenever they washed ashore, they're called ore fish. It's supposed to be like a sign of something bad happening, and it's linked to natural disasters. They look like fake things. They don't even look real. But they had two separate incidents, one in India and one in Tasmania, where they washed up on the beaches and everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's a harbinger of disaster. They are crazy looking silvery fish and they kind of look like wild sea serpents. They're huge. But when they're from the deep, and when they wash up on the shore, it means bad. I don't know. Does it mean was there some kind of underground disturbance? Is a kaiju going to come out?
Trump and Musk are fighting.
That's why the ore fish are floating to shore. So manga had predicted a great disaster in July 2025. So this is, you know, Japanese graphic novels manga, and they have different genres. Some of them are for kids. Some of them are like adult graphic novels. But apparently this guy's called Japan's answer to Nostradamus, says a bad thing is going to happen on July 5th. Maybe it's a mega quake or a fight. Stick with us as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at All Family Pharmacy. They make it so easy to get the medications that you need. No gatekeeping by Big Pharma. No gatekeeping from the government as well. And there was an executive order signed on May 12th to lower prescription costs so we can stop paying more than other countries. And, you know, you deserve medicines for fair prices without totally egregious markups. All Family Pharmacy is offering a summer sale right now, 20% off of your entire order. And that's going to give you a little extra breathing room. And their prices are already affordable. First off, right now through June, they're offering 20% off site-wide. No insurance is required. I mean, they have licensed doctors in all 50 states. You get fast shipping right to your door. You can get your stuff in as little as 2 to 3 days overnight. If you're in a pinch, which I've absolutely done that, and they have come in clutch. And you can get everything that you need, your day-to-day medications, antibiotics, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, everything. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and enjoy 20% off using promo code DANA20. Do not wait for permission to protect yourself and your family. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, coupon code DANA20 to save 20%.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Should not be personal.
I trust the math from the guy that lands rockets backwards over the politician's math.
I think that patient is on life support. And if the Senate thinks they're going to rehabilitate it and rewrite it, I think they're endangering this patient.
I'd go with Trump politically.
I mean, so I don't think you have to pick a side in this. And I would caution you against listening to the people who demand that you do. Because it's stupid. You don't have to pick a side in this. You don't have to. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. I wrote about this last night on Substack. Chapter and verse, if you get that. The newsletter. Because it's... I think people that are trying to get you to pick a side in the season finale of MACA are doing, they're motivated by their own interests. And I just think that we wouldn't have there are a lot of things that we wouldn't have without either one of these guys. And I want them to work it out. And if they don't, everybody better learn how to just coexist, because we have bigger fish to fry. That's the law. It's not your responsibility to mend bridges for anybody, right? You don't have to pick a side. And all of this, these breathless click whore dramatists that are demanding that you do, ignore them. You're not anybody's hired mercenary. Okay. You don't have to go and defend them. It is the job of elected officials and leaders to defend you. That's why they run for office and you elect them. They are the ones who stand there for you. They don't demand that you be their mercenaries. It's the other way around. But we do, I mean, live in a society that rewards online fighting. That's just the way it is. Here's the thing. And I talked about this, the art of disagreeing and remaining united. Didn't Reagan and Buckley like very vehemently disagree on a number of issues, and they had public debates on it, and they still maintained a friendship after? The right needs to remember how to do this. Do not be like the left. Don't be like the left that runs everybody out if they're not. You can't have a coalition and be a purist. Now, you can have a party and be a purist about your party. That's fine. In fact, you should be. Republicans, you should have your platform and your policy, and that you should be purists on that. But your coalition is different. You work towards the things that you all agree with, and there are going to be disagreements. But if we're going to have this whole, I'm going to take my ball and go home every time, then you're a bunch of female copulatory organs. I can't say what I would really call you, because I'd get fined. And I'd have to call the FCC chairman, Brendan Carr, be like, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I got to use my get out of jail free pass, the one pass that you've promised me. And he would be like, why do you got to do that, Dan? And I'm like, because I call a bunch of people female copulatory organs on live air, because they are. And he would say, well, even if they are, you can't do that. And I'm like, but they are, though. And he would say, no, Dana. So I don't want to have the whole very awkward conversation with him. Right. But you guys know what I mean. The coalition is the Republican Party plus conservatives / constitutionalists plus libertarians plus independents, right? That is the coalition. Now you have the Republican Party, and that is not all of that. That's its own thing. On the left, you just have Democrats, and there's no one else allowed. Nobody else. Can't have anything else. Can't have any deviation from hive mind. It's the Borg. You will be assimilated and you will love it. It's the way it is. It should be Carol Ross' next book. You will own nothing and be happy. You will be assimilated and you will love it.
Resistance is futile.
Resistance is futile. Gosh, we don't want to be like them. Now, that said, you want to make sure that we're still achieving the goals that we set out to achieve. Kanye West, for a brief moment, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I did not. Oh my gosh. One of my kids was like, you know what his song is, right? What his song was called, the new song that he did.
Yes.
I cannot even say it.
N-word.
Well, no, it was, wasn't it Heil?
Yeah, yeah.
N-word. Oh my gosh. Why? He was on X even going, bros, please know we love you both so much. He was like, no, bros. Oh my gosh. It was even, oh, I mean, when Kanye West enters the chat and is like, can you calm down? What is happening? What's happening here? It was a lot. I don't know. The bottom line is that we're not going to all agree on this bill. We can agree on reconciliation, and we can agree that what's being asked for in reconciliation is nowhere near enough, and that's great. But this, the fighting on this, and there are people that are looking at it in an advantageous way. They're thinking, oh, well, now if Musk is out, there's going to be room for someone else to influence Trump or be in the inner circle like that. I feel like there were people that were jealous of Elon Musk's friendship and association with the president, and that was kind of driving everything to this point. Apparently, this has been simmering behind the scenes for quite some time. Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. It had been simmering for a little bit. There were these, some of the stories that they had, like, Susie Wiles is, you know, pushing Musk out of the White House and into, like, a different building, or, and there was a kind of a joke that POTUS made at one event where he was speaking, and he was like, I can't get the guy to leave, and everybody laughs, and it's funny, but now I look back on it, and I'm like, mate, I think he's actually being serious. I don't know. He was at Mar-a-Lago. Apparently, he lived at Mar-a-Lago for a while. Wow. During the campaign. That's what I, because he was there all the time. He lived there for a little while. I don't know. But all I know is that it helped the country, and they work together, and it benefits all of us for them to work together. They don't have to love each other, and they don't have to be best buddies, but they need to have a working relationship, right?
This is how I look at it, because we all know Trump has a love for the country. We all know Elon Musk has a love for the country and its people.
Right.
That's all we have to know. Whatever little riffs or anything, especially the way the left capitalizes on, I think it's all noise at this point. I think they both have great motives. I think we just think that, hey, mom and dad still love the kids.
They need to assure us of that by giving us two Christmases. I want tax cuts. I want all my tax cuts in. I feel like they have to make it up to all of us. I would take that, Kane. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can take that. You know, I was thinking about this because I was talking with my kids yesterday. And, you know, it was brought up, the idea of corporate involvement in politics. And what effect is that going to have on, I don't want to say corporate activism, but the involvement of, like, corporate heads in politics at this level. And is that going to kind of annex them, you know, out of the, I don't think it,
I see what you mean.
I don't think it does. It's a weird bar to walk, because you want all of these people that would be advantageous to achieving your mission on your side, but at the same time, too much influence. And then who's actually in charge? You know what I mean? Who's in charge then?
No, I see what you're saying, which is why I think governors are great choices for presidents. And I think
that's
business
exactly
owners,
why I always go for a governor,
right?
Just like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And business owners have a very good idea of how to make successful things happen through their boards of their businesses, which is very similar to local politics and, you know, politics in the state. So I think there is a big benefit to including businessmen that think in this way, because I think a lot of times people can get jelly spines when they're politicians, mm-hmm. and they don't exactly do what's right for the people.
Now, one of the things that happened that the left, I think, was trying to get more people. The left had a Christmas yesterday. They had a field day yesterday because you had this travel moratorium. And then you also had this fight. The president announced a new travel ban. It was late Wednesday. So it bars entry from 12 different countries, and it limits entry from 7 others. And this is after, you know, we had the situation in Boulder, Colorado, and this guy that overstayed his tourist visa, but then, you know, Biden gave him a work permit. And the president said that we cannot have open migration from a country where we cannot safely and reliably vet and screen. So it looks at Yemen, Somalia, Haiti, Libya, and several others. 12 countries. It also includes Afghanistan, Burma, Chad, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Iran, Libya, Sudan as well. And I think some of them, they were suspended, but it's not an outright ban. And that's Venezuela, Sierra Leone, Togo, Laos, Cuba, Burundi. And they had several of their visa programs suspended, but there wasn't a ban. Now, this is very similar to what was happening during the first term. First off, it's not a Muslim ban, because if it was a Muslim ban, then why doesn't it target, like, the biggest Muslim majority countries, number one? Because it doesn't. Number two, it does not cover, it's not exclusive to just Muslim countries either, unless you're trying to argue that people, for instance, in Venezuela are Muslim. Kane, I'm pretty sure they're not. No. Number three, I want the people who are decrying the moratorium on this to answer how you expect to safely vet for entrance individuals coming from those countries when we, A, do not have a working relationship with those countries in order to legitimately and honestly vet the individuals coming in. Two, when some of these countries don't even have systems that allow you to vet the people coming in because they don't even keep this information. And three, when those countries have such a low bar for documentation that they don't even, they do not even enforce those kind of secure protocols. How do you expect then, based on those, that reality, to thoroughly and accurately vet individuals coming into the country? For instance, if you were hiring someone to work in your home, you would want to know, are you insured, number one? Are you doing this work legally, especially if it's like a skilled thing? Like, what if it's like wiring or something like that? You know what I mean? Are you skilled? Can you do this? Number one, are you insured? Number two, you would ask these things and you would want to verify these things before you just allowed someone to come into your home. You're not going to go pick some rando off the street to come into your home and do this work. You are going to vet it. So why would you not do the exact same thing with people coming into the United States? That makes perfect sense. Every other country does it. Every other country does it. And people who argue otherwise, I think, so honestly, some of the times the people that I think are against this stuff have never traveled outside of the United States. I don't know how, I don't think they've ever left this, the mainland. I really don't think that they have. Because they act like they've never gone through the process. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And Patriot Mobile, they want to make sure that, you know, you want to be mindful with your money. They're mindful with the money that people send them for service. And they're not going to put money behind things that you don't believe in or vote against at the ballot box, while also providing you with exceptional nationwide coverage. They operate on all three major networks, so you get to stay connected wherever you go. And when you switch, you're working with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're dedicated to making your switch easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, upgrade. It's never been easier to switch, and the choice is entirely yours. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Switch today and defend freedom with every call and text you make. Get that free month of service using promo code Dana only at patriotmobile.com/Dana or by calling 972-PATRIOT.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Any quick reaction on what's going on with Elon Musk and President Trump on Twitter right now?
Oh, man, the girls are fighting, aren't they?
The girls? Is she misgendering? Is she misgendering?
Feel like she is. No, I don't know. What, I mean, is that supposed to be like a put down? I mean, she pretended to cry outside of a parking lot, so I don't know. But, you know, I will say this is, you know, kind of what happens when you have a big slap fight. I just don't like it when people are, when people try to portray it as this is masculinity, what happens when it's, okay, those people are charlatans. It just is what it is. Just, you know, and you don't have to pick a side. You do not have to. You can like, you can like both of them. Just because they are fighting does not mean you have to go, okay, I guess I gotta just completely disassociate. Stop doing that. That's so hive mind. You do not have to do that. And don't allow people to just browbeat you into doing it. It's ridiculous. And it, what it also does is it obscures the bigger things right now in play. The rescissions package, which they're going to have a vote on that next Wednesday. And also this story that I was reading about in the New York Post. If I can pull, if I can find it and pull it up, that gets into Iran ordering ballistic missile components from China, which is enough to fuel hundreds of explosives. Huh. This seems like what would happen like back in the 70s and 80s with Russia, right? Like Cold War stuff. I mean, I love what they said. Some of the rocket propellant will likely find its way to Iran-aligned militias, including the Houthis in Yemen. Yes, it's absolutely going to do that. That is absolutely what is going to happen. And we are now going to have Iranian-backed militias using Chinese weaponry that are going to be launching attacks on ships, including our own, going through the Red Sea. They've already been firing missiles at them. They've already been attacking some of our allies in that region. So that's all happening as Iran is trying to finalize and negotiate this deal with the Trump administration over its nuclear program. It's almost like they're trying to hold us hostage. Well, I mean, that's, you know, for that regime. But like, well, if you don't allow us to do this, then I guess we're just going to do this instead. It's very much that way. And that, of course, that came out. This report, it first was yesterday, and I saw it in a couple of different publications yesterday. The New York Post had it this morning. This didn't get, nobody's talking about this at all, because everybody's been, which I get it, everybody's been focusing on the Trump-Musk fight and what that means, not just for the administration, but, you know, for us going into midterms and, you know, also for the bill and taxes and all this other stuff. So it's, you know, it's a big deal. But I don't know how is the administration going to counter that? How is that going to be countered? I'm just wondering. And also, we've got some stuff on immigration to hit as well, because now there's these stories coming out about people who, like, for instance, they're trying to say, oh, my gosh, this child from Southern California, he's a fourth grader. He was detained by immigration officials. He's going to be deported. Well, what Bill Melugin clued everybody in on is that he and his whole family illegally crossed in here a couple of years ago. They've all been here illegally. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. Our partners over at Gold Co. I love gold. Love the gold standard. I love those hard assets. They offer real security, and they've stood the test of time. You don't have to panic. You just be prepared. You can get your free 2025 gold and silver kit today, and you could qualify for and get unlimited bonus silver. Real silver. Instantly matched to your account, tax and penalty free. Think about it. I mean, national debt is rising about, what, I think 32% of it's going to be due for refinancing in the next 12 to 18 months. There's a lot of warnings about financial stability, so you need to be prepared, and this is where Gold Co. comes in. They can walk you through it with their 2025 Gold and Silver Kit. Join the thousands like me who've called Gold Co. the number one rated company, and see if you can qualify for and get that unlimited bonus silver. DanaLikesGold.com.
Good morning, John. Well, he said that he's, quote, well, here's exactly what he said, quote, I'm not even thinking about Elon. He's got a problem. The poor guy's got a problem. He said he won't be speaking to him for a while, but he said he wishes Elon Musk well.
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe they'll get along. Of course, he is talking to CNN. You really think that Trump is going to be like, I'm going to tell you every, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and interpret it. It is what it is. I just don't give a rat's ass anymore. I'm just, you know, fight it out. Let him fight it out. Let him get it over with. I don't care. But I just care about what's best for the nation. What's best for us. It's all about us. It's not about anybody else. It's about us. Welcome. Top of the second hour. And we got a lot still to unpack, because we've got immigration. They're going to be doing holding votes on rescission package next week. We'll talk about that when as it gets closer. Whether or not this big, beautiful bill, whatever happens with this, I don't think anybody even knows what the Senate is going to send back yet. And the Senate, you know, they're so good at being super conservative with the way they spend money and all that, Kane. You know, they're very responsible, the Senate. No, they're super responsible. It all depends. I don't know what we don't know. We were talking about this, the ban, though, and how the White House is instituting this. It's a moratorium. I don't like to say ban, just because it's just always, you know, not everything's a ban. Not everything has to be that. But I do think that it makes complete sense to not allow in routinely individuals who are coming from nations that have absolutely no ability to even vet its own citizenry, much less be able to vouch for, by way of documentation, etc., the legitimacy or the criminality or whatever of their citizens that are coming into the United States. We don't owe anybody anything. And like I said last hour, and I gave the example of, if you were hiring someone to come into your home and do work, you want to make sure that they're, you know, legitimate, that they are actually are skilled at doing the work. Like, if whether it's, say it's wiring, say it's plumbing, whatever. Going to allow somebody just randomly to come into your, hey, you there in the street, you look like you do, come on in. Come on in and do this. That's not how that works. You want to make sure that, so why would it be any less for having someone come into the United States? Doesn't make any sense. People are just, they're so hypocritical on this stuff. They're so hypocritical. So I don't know. That and these judges that are constantly overruling POTUS. There was this, Red State had this piece of these federal judge that stranded three ICE officers in Djibouti after an order was handed down to ground their flight. Seems like it's a big deal. They have eight illegal immigrants. They were on their way to South Sudan. U.S. District Judge Brian Murphy stepped in late May, claiming that the Trump administration unquestionably violated a March decision on deportation. So they landed in Djibouti, and ICE agents are not able to deal with what they said are outrageous conditions. They're marooned there. I mean, you've got right across the water, you got attacks from Yemen, and a federal judge barred their deportation. They're here illegally. They're from South Sudan. They're going back to South Sudan, and now they're stuck in Djibouti. They were convicted of raping children. One was a convicted murderer, robbery and arson. That's who they're stranded with in Djibouti. And they're being housed on the shipping container on a U.S. naval base. And they have to be watched around the clock by ICE. And Pentagon officials warned ICE, hey, they're at risk of literal rocket strikes from Houthis that are just across the Red Sea there. And, of course, you have burn pits where people dispose of human waste and trash. So you have all the toxicity, the smoke that comes from that. And so they also, DHS, this is the latest, this one was from a court listener through Red State. The agents didn't have any malaria medication. It's malaria season there right now. And some of them have already reported being sick, and they're sharing bunk beds. They have limited supplies. And they have to have round-the-clock shifts to watch these eight dangerous, again, convicted murderers and child rapists and arsonists. Those are their convictions, who are here in the country illegally. They have to even escort them to the restroom. Then they have to go to the bathroom with them. One guy, his name is, he's a Cuban national. He's not even from Sudan. Enrique Herrero. He was convicted of second-degree murder, robbery, kidnapping, impersonating a police officer. He was supposed to be in prison for 15 years. You have another guy, a Cuban national, convicted of arson, cocaine trafficking, first-degree murder. You have Thongin, you look out. This guy's from Africa. He was convicted for first-degree murder. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. You have another individual convicted of second-degree murder, stabbed his then-roommate to death with a knife. Another guy who was convicted for raping a minor began routinely raping the child when the child was 7 years old, starting when the child was seven. Another one, also rape. His victims were mentally and physically incapable of resisting. Yeah. You have a Vietnamese national who was convicted of first-degree murder. And then you have a Sudanese national again, who was convicted of armed robbery. So those are the people that ICE is stranded with in Djibouti because of an activist judge. Now, POTUS has asked the Supreme Court to intervene in the case, and so far, nothing. So I don't know. I mean, this is what happens. You have the usurpation of the executive authority by judicial power. I have no idea. This is crazy. I mean, you're here in the country illegally. You are a dangerous murderer, convicted dangerous murderer. And they're more upset with these activist judges are upset that these dangerous murderers are being deported from the country. Do they want to hang out with them and have margaritas? I don't understand. What is the objection to this? Like, I don't understand how the left can defend it. Why is the left defending these people? Like, you have actual child rapists, like convicted child rapists in this group. And notice I said plural. Why would the left defend this? I don't even know. I wouldn't deport them. I would drown them in the sea. I don't know why any. You prey on kids. You're a rapist, and you die. That's it. You die. But no, no, no. Our left wants to give them free housing and have margaritas with them and help them live the good life. Meanwhile, our veterans get nothing. Just saying. It just doesn't make any sense. This judicial overreach is so dangerous. It is so incredibly dangerous. And if you don't have the consistency of equality before the law, which is how it works in a republic, I don't know what you got, but it ain't a republic. It's not a republic at all. But that's not getting a lot of traction. Bill Malugin was talking about how this is how the media reports this stuff. They had, this is KTLA, federal officials confirmed that a Southern California fourth grader was detained by immigration officials and is going to be deported. Oh, and there was a lot of discussion about it, how mean it is. What they actually forgot to report is that the whole family are from Honduras and they crossed illegally a couple of years ago. And they were offered they came here illegally in 2021. A judge in 2022 offered to return them, like no penalty. The dad appealed, it was rejected, and they refused to leave. So now they're going to be deported together. Why would KTLA leave that out of the story? They didn't include any of that in there. They just talked about how ignorant it was that the administration, because of new policies, is deporting a fourth grader. Kane, they're so mean. OMG. This seems like that's a pretty significant story here. I don't know. I want to switch gears here. Audio Sunbite 12. MSNBC, do you think that Democrats are going to get Elon Musk back?
I don't think so. So what do the Democrats do with someone like Elon Musk, given how powerful he is? They keep trying to push him off to the sidelines, given how erratic he is, given his, I mean, there's been a lot over the past year. Or do they try to recruit him back into the fold? Because, again, that money with our campaign finance laws, which I think are broken and should be amended, that money really matters, especially when you have a lot of AI firms now backing prominent Republican races because they think
The left would love this. If they love their big business people backing their causes, they have no objections. They only object. When it happens on the right, that's the only time that they ever object. You're not going to recruit Musk back, and I don't think Musk. If his positions are genuine, which they seem to be, you're not going to go. It's not a case of who likes me more. It's a case of whose policies make sense. If you're opposed to spending in the big bad bill, then why would you go and embrace the party that made it worse and actually is one of the reasons why it's bad? Why would you embrace that? Why would you go to that on steroids? It doesn't make any sense. I think that's a fool's errand for the left to even entertain this. It's silly. It doesn't make any sense. But I don't know. I don't think that he's going to, if anything, he talked about doing a third party. He was saying, well, we need like an 80% party, et cetera, et cetera. I will tell you this, Republicans not listening to fiscal common sense, that will absolutely get them in that. They will find themselves in that Tea Party situation all over again. And it didn't work out so well for them at all last time. Now, I always am going to tell you that it's incredibly important to make sure, I think you should carry. I think you should train. I think you should carry. And I have no problem using lethal force to defend myself or my loved ones. The issue is that in some instances, we're blocked from being able to adequately defend ourselves, whether it is due to a municipal restriction, whether it's due to private property rules, whatever. And I especially worry, for college kids that are too young to carry a handgun, but also want to be able to protect themselves, if they're walking to their car or whatever. This is where the Byrna gun comes in. Now, if you compare this to regular like stun guns, you got one or two rounds there. Byrna gives you 5 rounds. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. There's no recoil. It's legal in all 50 states. There's no background check. It does not care about gun-free zone signs. It can be shipped directly to your front door. It is accessible to everyone. There's 2 versions specifically that I think you should check out. They've got rifles in that, but I think you need to look at, for this purpose, the Byrna SD or the Byrna CL. That's their new one. CL stands for compact launcher. And it's actually 38% smaller than the SD, which is their best-selling defensive model. And everything is proudly made in the USA. Visit Byrna.com. Check out your options. There's different colors, there's different accessories, and so much more. Get your hands on the new Byrna CL. BYRNA.com/Dana. Byrna, ready when you are.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I feel like this is scary. This is like a horror film. Amazon is apparently developing software for humanoid robots that could perform the role of delivery workers and spring out of the vans. It's a $2 trillion technology company. They're building a humanoid park to test the robots. And they said that they could eventually take the jobs of the delivery workers. And does that mean that, because I got some really great Amazon delivery workers, but then I have some of the other ones that are like, I feel like I threw the box close enough to the driveway that counts. But they said that they're developing the AI that's going to power the robots. I don't know how I feel about this. Yeah, people think that there's a serial killer prowling Texas. 38 bodies have been pulled from a lake in the past 3 years. Oh, sounds like it's Glock o'clock. The discovery is there's another, it was Lady Bird Lake in Austin. A teenage boy missing since Sunday was discovered by a paddleboarder. And they think that the Rainy Street Ripper, they think that there's a renewed fears that this mass murderer is loose in the city. And police insist the killer's not roaming the streets. And they said only one of the cases was a homicide. But still, I'm ready for Glock o'clock. All the same, just saying. A crew was charged with taking nearly 32,000 dollars worth of candles from a store in Fairfax, Colorado. How do you spend that much on a candle? It's a string of thefts. I guess what they're going to resell them.
Bunch of candles, yeah.
30. Oh my gosh, that's insane. Let's see. Also, oh, this is so gross. So a baseball player. This is in New Mexico, Rio Rancho. They're not pursuing charges against a teenager who is accused of urinating in a rival baseball team's water jug. It happened between two high schools, and one of the principals sent a letter to JV baseball family saying that a Rio Rancho student admitted to it, and the players and coaches drank from it. Oh my gosh. They said that there are no statutes that make it illegal to interfere with someone's food, and battery consists of unlawful touching or application in a rude and insolent manner. They said so. They're technically the conduct isn't criminal. Really? Seriously?
Right.
Seriously. That is absolutely ridiculous. I think he should be kicked off the baseball team. Yeah. Barred for the rest of his career. Oh, high school career. Yes, absolutely. That's a serious thing. That is a very serious thing. It absolutely is. I can't even believe that. I don't know. Apparently, it says this is a stupid study by a horrible British communist newspaper, The Telegraph, and it says that women should drink no more than 6 glasses of wine a year.
A year?
A year. Was this written by beer people? Did a can of beer actually write this? I'm curious. I'm just, you know, I've got some questions. Also, let's see here. Oh, we got this. The fix for parched Western states: recycled toilet water.
What?
Isn't toilet water kind of recycled already anyway?
Right.
I don't know, but they're saying that in California, I mean, they live by a sea. They could have a desalination plant, but they decided to waste billions of dollars on a high-speed rail that was never built. So instead, they're going to just recycle toilet water for everybody to drink. Yay! Speaking of that, water flow was restored to residents of one town after a sewer main led to interruption. Oh, that's not the time that you want to have that issue either. This was in Rowlett, Texas. There, once again, they had to tell people, don't flush your commodes. They had a sewer main that collapsed. How is a sewer main collapsing? Like, how is this happening? So coming up, we're going to talk about the rescissions package. What, you know, it's like $9.4 billion. Is there a way to tack more onto it? Stick with us. Our friends over at Kel-Tec, the PR-57, F-I-D-D-Y, PR-57. This is a great gun. And it's from Kel-Tec, and they've really changed the game on a lot of the stuff. And this is no different. The PR-57 rotary barrel pistol is the lightest 5.7 that's out there. 40% lighter than the competition, perfect for concealed carry. You can actually conceal carry this thing because it's 40% lighter and it's so thin. The unique top loading design. So get this. It doesn't have traditional magazines. It top loads with stripper clips. That gives it a slimmer carry profile and a 20+1 capacity. And that rotary barrel, that also helps redefine the size. And the MSRP is only $399. It is so ridiculously affordable. This is one that you have to have and you can have. Low recoil for ease of use and accuracy, built to perform. And it's just incredibly innovative, groundbreaking from Kel-Tec. All American labor, all American parts, family owned Kel-Tec right here in the US of A. It's the new PR57 chambered in 5.7 from Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. Innovation Performance Kel-Tec. Tell them Dana sent you.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of the Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Those DOGE employees, the people that Axelrod was just talking about, are very dangerous. If Donald Trump is smart, the first thing he's going to do is fire, investigate, and prosecute all of Elon's people who are all throughout government with their laptops downloading data right now. That's
you think he should prosecute them?
I don't think that what they're doing is legal.
Okay, that's not even accurate. First off, that's, oh my gosh, I totally forgot his name. What's his face? Van Jones, that's right. On CNN, he's talking to Anderson Cooper. Can we just, I got to correct it right off the bat because I can't continue. They have read-only access that's covered by an NDA. No one's downloading anything from the system. That's fake news that they're that's not even accurate. What did they do that's illegal? It's a glorified audit. It's not any different than what Tom Coburn's staff did previously with his waste book. So you're going to go after Coburn's staff too? This is just asinine. These people are all clutching pearls because this is billions of taxpayer dollars that has been wasted on what? NPR? Oh, the Hunter Biden laptop. That's just the local news story. PBS? Like, what have we gotten for our taxpayer dollars? Nothing. I don't even get a card from Big Bird for my birthday. And I pay more in tax to those people than any of their donors. So what do we get out of it? Joining me now on this. I just get so mad talking about this. David Bozell is the president of the Media Research Center, who's taken over from his most excellent father, who founded that great organization almost 40 years ago, which is crazy to think it's been that long. David, it's so good to see you. Thank you so
too,
much
Dana.
For joining. I just got to get your reaction to that. Why are they so, it's a glorified audit. It's their tax dollars too, right?
Yeah, look, Van Jones is not know very well of what he speaks. There was an issue. I remember in Department of Labor. Department of Labor, those guys came in. They had the read-only access. They needed to see it. It was against the law for Department of Labor employees to give read-only access to people who were not technically Department of Labor employees. So guess what? A week later, they figured all that out. They became technically super Department easy. Of Labor employees. All was well with the world. So, look, I like Donald Trump, obviously. I like Elon Musk, obviously. Smart guys. I wish they'd find two different hydrants to go fight over, and we'll figure it out from there.
That's a way to put it.
I'm sure they'll make up.
I think they'll make up. I mean, will they go back to being like first buddy? I don't know. Like I was joking, like who gets the nation in the custody battle? Like but it makes sense. I mean, I think they've always been pretty straightforward with one another. I mean, Musk sat right next to Trump and was like, yeah, I don't like the spending in this, whatever. And I get that. Obviously it benefits the country for them to get along. I don't think though, David, I don't think that Democrats are going to get Musk because they spent all night last night. I saw some of it, unfortunately, thinking, you know, hoping that he was going to come back to their camp. I don't even think he was ever in their camp. Really? Was he?
If he was Democrat light at most.
Yeah.
I mean, he's more libertarian.
Yeah.
His political musings are more libertarian than anything else. They've always have been. Now look, if I'm Speaker Johnson, okay, I am engaging in some donor cultivation here, right? He is, by and large, the Republican Party's biggest donor. Mm. So I am going to try to bridge some of these gaps and try to be a little bit peacemaker because, Mike Johnson has a responsibility as fundraiser in chief for the Republican caucus. So he'll step up to the plate and try to make that so because you should do that as a manager of donor resources. You want to honor all that.
Yeah.
But again, I think they'll be fine. I really do. Look, it could be about policy. It could be about the NASA thing. It could be about something personal. This is obviously heated and people are taking to Twitter. But I think it'll all die down, and they'll have a reconciliation.
David, we're talking to David Bozell with Media Research Center. I was thinking, like, I was a kid in the '80s, but I remember Reagan debated with people on the right, and they were still friends. Like they had very public debates, and yet everybody still came together when it counted. I mean, why is that so unusual? Why? Because I feel like a lot of the reaction to this is overreaction. Why is it? Why do people think it's so unusual?
Well, look, take it just on a personal level. My father and President Trump sparred during the first campaign during in 2016. Yeah. Well, my father had endorsed Ted Cruz. So by definition, he was against Donald Trump's candidacy. He had previously endorsed Ted Cruz way early on in the primary. And Donald Trump didn't like that too much. And they sparred over X, Twitter back then. And now my father is President Trump's, South African ambassador designee. They've reconciled any differences that they had. And so, yes, those things they're temporary, particularly in politics. OK, this is politics. Right. This is not a blood sport here. And Elon Musk has done a terrific job putting waste, fraud and abuse into the forefront of the mind of the American voter. Right. Especially utilizing, one of the world's biggest communication engines that man has ever created. So I think he's done yeoman's work. And so, again, I think they'll be fine.
Do you think, because I know the rescissions proposal, they said that's like one of several. I think the first votes on that are Wednesday. It's looking at $9.4 billion, I know, which is not a lot compared to the $170 billion that they were saying that Doge, could save $9.4. But it's a start. That has to make him happy.
Yeah, well, look, we both know Russ Vogt. Russ has been on record. This is the first of many, his words. So we're super excited about that. This will be the first of many rescissions packages. Look, I understand Elon Musk was frustrated that his identified cuts were not in the reconciliation package. That has a lot to do with what's mandatory spending versus what's discretionary spending.
And spines in D.C.
Yeah, right. So a lot of the USAID stuff that he identified is in this first rescissions package, along with Corporation for Public Broadcasting, PBS and NPR, which Media Research Center has been at the forefront for the better part of the last 38 years, trying to convince Congress to let's get on with it, right? This is an operation that is antiquated in its technology. It has outlived its usefulness. I know NPR and PBS are running around Washington, D.C., trying to say that farmers will never be alerted to a tornado if they don't have NPR. And that's been their tagline. And I think farmers are going to be just fine. We have the emergency broadcasting system for that. So this is $1.2 billion in removal of CPB's funding. Interestingly enough, Dana, they are on record in congressional testimony saying that that government funding only accounts for less than 1% of their funding. But they're also on record saying that they will collapse if they don't have less than 1% of their funding. The two don't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense at all. They can't have it both ways. And I think if people wanted to support, PBS or NPR, why aren't all the people on the left writing bigger checks to do? I mean, nobody's stopping them.
Nobody. Yeah, go for it. One of the other interesting things is they claim that they're a voice for local news, right? And they're one of the few remaining voices for local entrenched news. We did an analysis on most of every station that NPR is carried 23 out of 24 hours every single day are beamed into that local market from New York, D.C., or Boston. Okay, only 1 hour at most is devoted to any sort of local programming in some of these local markets. So even that claim doesn't have any rural resonance. So they really don't have much of a leg to stand on. They've been laughably left-wing almost since for the entirety of their existence. David Brooks, the so-called conservative, has been out there. He basically called Elon Musk Pol Pot weeks ago, saying that his cuts are going to result in hundreds of thousands of deaths. No evidence of that whatsoever. You mentioned at the top how they just dismissed the Hunter Biden laptop story. Not a real story. Not something that the public would be interested in. Christiane Amanpour. She's a PBS anchor. She just gave a commencement speech to Harvard just the other day. Very anti-Trump screed. I won't bore you with it. But she said in her speech that she was afraid to come to America as if she was visiting North Korea.
Now, she had to get a burner phone, she said.
Yeah, I mean, it's just silly. They're way off. They're viciously left wing. Their guest ratios, Democrats to Republicans, are way out of balance. 4-1, 6-1. It's more Democrats than Republicans. So they have a left wing agenda, right? Funded by the United States taxpayer, that doesn't need to be. Okay, they can go out and get all this funding themselves and survive in the free market by themselves.
Exactly. And they should be. And it's insane for anyone to expect otherwise. Talking with David Bozell with Media Research Center. And you guys have been. And I remember the analysis that you did of that. We talked about that on air because that was, they really were overselling how their contributions to local news by quite a bit. Let me ask you this. Is there... Yeah. Are you concerned that, because I feel like the left going after the Musk and Trump thing isn't so much about Musk and Trump, but they're trying to get ahead of a lot of these cuts as well in this vote next week. It's going to be so hard for some of these lawmakers with razor-thin majorities. What is your, I mean, if you had to get out your crystal ball, how is media going to try to, you know, do their job of influencing people away from, you know, agreeing to these cuts and agreeing to, you know, the refusal to spend this money?
Actually, the Musk-Trump feud actually might be the best thing because if I knew news bureaus right now, every single reporter has been tasked to figure out what went wrong, what went wrong between Trump and Elon Musk, and they're descending on the White House. Where the act, but the action regarding the reconciliation and rescission bills is on Capitol Hill, so it actually kind of might work, you know, sort of have a net plus benefit. I think some members of Congress had tired of Elon's proclamations about the work that he was doing vis-a-vis Doge. They operate with CBO scores and those types of things. And that's not a lexicon that Elon was ever familiar with. And he never could translate his projected savings into the language that they're familiar with. So I think having that kind of out of the picture might actually embolden some members. The Senate so far has been the majority of the senators that have been vocal have said they want to go deeper in cuts than the House version did.
Wow.
So that's really, that's promising, you know, from a government spending standpoint, that's super promising. So I actually think we'll be okay on the NPR thing. Look, I think 90% of Republicans would have voted for this yesterday. There's probably a 9% of the chamber that is hesitant, but, you know, but they'll do it anyway. Maybe 1% is going to hold out for a deal of some kind. But I really do think we're going to get there in both chambers.
I hope so. From your lips to
glass
God's ears.
Glass half full. Always.
I hope so. I got to ask you before we go. I never ever do cruises, and I'm doing one with you. I'm going on a cruise with you. We're going to the fjords. We're going to go where the giants live. We're going all the way. Talk to us a little bit about this because this is the Media Research Center 7-day cruise to Norway, and
yeah, 7 days.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's Joe Concha, yourself, Colonel West, Tim Young, Michelle Tavoya, the Sorbos, your husband is going to be coming along too. We'll put him to work such as that you'll allow it. But yeah, we've got a full crew, full team, great audience. There's some few tickets still available if you want to come out to Norway just over Labor Day weekend and come out and see the sights and have some bonding with free thinking souls. And learn a thing or two, and we have a ton of fun doing it.
It's so probably going to be like the most liberty that Norway has seen in a long time.
That's right.
It's going to be so fun. It's August 30th, September 6th. You can go to mrccruise.com to check that out, and that's going to be a good time. It's going to be a really good fellowship.
We're gonna have fun.
Yeah, we will. David Bozell, I have to have you back, especially after we watch everything unfold over the next couple of weeks with these rescission proposals. But it's always so good to see you. Congrats, by the way,
thanks,
becoming
Dave.
President. Congrats
Thank
to your
you so
dad
much.
As well. Good to talk with you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate
it. You too. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour of the program. We got Florida Man partners that help make it possible. And the folks over at Super Beats with Super Barine, their latest product, invest in your metabolism and blood sugar support for less than a dollar a day when you buy Super Barine at Sam's Club. You know Super Beats, which helps to provide healthy blood pressure support. I've used it. You're going to like Super Barine. It's from the same brand that you can trust, doctor-formulated, plant-based, and doctor-formulated, with a unique form of berberine and Italian olive fruit extracts. You're getting additional antioxidant and cardiovascular support, And you can't just like walk out and buy any old berberine. I mean, you can, but you're not going to get the same results. The unique berberine and superberine is clinically studied to deliver nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. This means fewer pills to swallow because you're getting everything in one highly concentrated, easy to swallow capsule a day. And no GI distress because superberine includes grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. You can find both the new Superberine and the number one best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews at Sam's Club. Restock your heart health support with Superbeats Heart Chews and expand your routine with new Superberine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. Start today and get on the road to better cardiovascular health support from the folks at Human.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, let's see here. So where do we start? Well, we've got this story. Hang on, let me pull this up. I just lost it because I was looking at another Florida Man story. A Florida man attacked an officer because he refused to pay a restaurant bill. He was arrested. It was a $50 bill. Daniel Robinson also choked the officer, prompting another officer to intervene with force. He now faces multiple charges, including attempted homicide of a law enforcement officer and battery. They didn't say which restaurant. They just said it was an Orlando restaurant. But he's a 22-year-old guy. I think, according to his mugshot, looks like he got punched in the face a bunch. But because he was trying to kill the guy. He was trying to strangle him. It was Orlando PD that responded. So he was taken into custody. Of course, he got treated for the injuries that he sustained after he tried to murk an officer. Plane crashed off a beach in Florida. Two dudes and a dog were rescued. Oh my goodness. And it was all actually because modern society, so much of it was on video. It was a Piper PA-23 plane. Thankfully, they made it to shore with the help of a good Samaritan. Florida Fish and Wildlife in Brevard County, Brevard Sheriff's Office responded. It was a single engine plane, but two dudes and a dog. Everybody was in good condition. Can you imagine your plane crashes and you're in good condition? Disney refuses to say if a guy who posted photos of women in the park bathroom is going to be banned from the Federalist. A man dressed as a woman who, I guess you can do that. You can be a man. You can just decide to dress as a woman for the day and you can go in the women's restrooms. He took photos of himself in 10 different women's bathrooms all over Florida Disney World. And he put it up on Instagram. And it showed him ranking the bathrooms on a scale of 1 to 10. And it had all the other women in the background of his photos. And it's the guy, the same guy, who got mad because a server at Disney called him sir. He's literally in the bathroom showing, invading all these women's privacy. And he is taking photos of himself. He clearly looks like a guy. It's almost like it's a prank. And there's women all in the background of these photos that are trying to use the restroom. There is one woman who looks like she's at a changing table with an infant. I mean, this is insane. And they won't say if the guy who's violating these women's privacy in the restrooms, whether or not that, you know, he's going to still be allowed there. And he even like tagged Disney. He was like, thanks for letting me use the women's bathrooms. It was like, he's taunting them. And under the Florida statute, it's a felony for anybody who intentionally uses or intentionally installs imaging devices to secretly view, broadcast, or record people without their knowledge or consent if they are in basically the bathroom. Right. So what he's doing is a crime. This is privilege right here that this guy can do this. And those are just some of the photos. There's tons of ladies in the background of so many of his photos. Why does he get to do this? Because he's protected because he's a dude who's cosplaying as a woman? That's awful. We have a lot more in store, including the season finale of MAGA. And this has been the biggest fight on the right, I think, since the Tea Party in 2009. Stick with us. More to come. Think about the last movie that you saw that inspired you and kept you thinking long after the credits rolled. Movies have the power to change individuals, communities, and culture. And that's why I'm telling you about Angel Studios. This is the studio that had the courage to bring the world the sound of freedom. So how can you be part of it? Well, you can join the Angel Guild. King of Kings, an animated story about the life of Jesus, is now streaming on the Angel app. And when you watch King of Kings, it's going to move you. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it's unlike anything else that's out there. It opened first on April 11th and broke records and earned an A+ cinema score. So as a premium guild member, you can watch King of Kings and access fan-curated films and receive two free tickets to every theatrical release. And the best part is that you are part of deciding what stories get told next. Experience the power of King of Kings, a film that's moving hearts and inspiring faith. Visit angel.com/Dana to watch now and be part of this life-changing movement by becoming a Guild member. That's angel.com/Dana. This is, I think, so indicative of where we are as a society as well. It's like, feels like the season finale of MAGA. I don't know if they're going to make up or not. That may change, but it feels like we were watching this, you know, it's like you're watching a reality show and you have the season finale of it and you're taking it all in and oh my gosh, mom and dad are fighting. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or not, but I found this most amazing AI image ever. And it's of like a 70s Trump. And he's in this just one of the most horrific jackets I've ever seen in my life. And Elon Musk. And it's like mom and dad. It feels like mom and dad are fighting. And I don't know who's going to get custody of us. Who gets custody of the nation? Right? I don't know. Who gets custody? Those are the most bitchin' glasses I've ever seen.
Juan's putting that up right now.
I need those sunglasses. Oh my gosh. I would actually knock him down and rob him for those sweet Jim Jones sunglasses. This is my favorite. I put it to the tune of Al Green's Let's Stay Together. And all of you out there were so disturbed by this. But can I just appreciate that jacket is so loud. But the hair is so sweet. And I mean, it works. I would believe that.
I can smell the cigarette smoke.
Dude, can't you? And the leather seats, the Corinthian leather seats, the cigarette smoke, right?
Is that Olin Mills?
It feels like it's an Olin Mills photo, right? I need to see, like, you know, that's the nation's parents right now. I don't know who gets custody of us. I just hope that I get willed those sunglasses, those sweet shades. I don't know.
That jacket's mine.
Golly, you can have that jacket. That's jacket mine. Is like Ronald McDonald's 70s French fries.
Thank you,
crusted
Dana.
Ketchup. That's what that jacket is. But the glass, I mean, it's just loud and in charge. I don't know who gets custody of the nation. I don't know what happens. It was so awkward. It was so awkward looking at all of this. I don't know if we have all of the tweets that they have. Is it tweets or is it, I don't even know what the hell it is. Tweets, posts, whatever. I don't know. I want to kick with audio soundbite one because this is when I knew they weren't playing because we'll get into that. The 11DD chess, whatever. This is when I knew that they weren't playing. Audio soundbite one.
He's upset. Remember, he was here for a long time. You saw a man who was very happy when he stood behind the Oval desk. And even with the black eye, I said, do you want a little makeup? We'll get you a little makeup. But he said, no, I don't think so, which is interesting and very nice. He wants to be who he is. So you could make that statement, too, I guess. Look, Elon and I had a great relationship. I don't know if we're well anymore. I was surprised because you were here.
You have two titans that are clashing. And everybody else can get hurt in the process. And that's what we don't want to happen. And I said this when I was on Ingram last night. Yes, you know, these are two people with outsized egos. And you have to have a large ego to be where you are at the level where they are. Because you can't survive if you don't. I mean, that's kind of like this commonality with all of these people. I mean, you kind of have to have an outsized ego to survive, right? So we had the tweets started. I don't even remember. There were so many. At one point, I lost track. Like, we were going to go through all of them and throw them up on the... But they kept doing it. And Musk was like, yeah. And then he said that he was going to decommission Dragon X. I don't even remember. Juan, there's so many of them now. They would not stop. We were going to go through it. And you guys, there's so many. Go through. He said, whatever. Keep the EV solar incentive cuts in the bill, even though no oil and gas subsidies. And remember, Elon Musk is actually on record as saying that he wants all of that to go away. I mean, he literally sat there and he'd said over and over again, yes, we need to get rid of this. We need to get rid of all of these things. And then the Epstein tweet happened, and I don't even know. It went into the Epstein tweet. I don't think that he is really saying that Trump's a pedophile. I can't even believe I'm having this conversation right now. So nuts. Did we accidentally get drunk or high? Like, what happened?
I hate it when mom and dad fight.
It's so confusing because he drops this and he's like, have a nice day, DJT. I don't really, because he's had little X hanging out with POTUS, right? He's had little X on Marine One with POTUS. I mean, I don't think he believes it. I think he's just trying to make it all very uncomfortable. This is, we have a society where everybody flexes online. This is part of it. So he's saying, he said that, you know, he's in the Epstein files, etc. Then from this tweet, before we go to the next, from this tweet, there was like an Epstein off. Like, who can get more photos with Epstein? And I'm pretty sure that halfway through, most of them were AI generated. Like, I saw a picture of Elon Musk, Donald Trump, and Epstein apparently chugging from a champagne bottle. And I'm like, pretty sure that's AI, because I don't think that Elon Musk was that old in the 80s. Anyway, it just went crazy. And then POTUS went back at him. Musk went back at POTUS, saying that he was going to then decommission Dragon, SpaceX. And then Musk said, Trump would have lost the election without me. I do believe that this is true. I believe that's true. I think that Trump needed Musk to win the election. I think that technology needs Republicans to progress. So it's kind of like, you know, tit for tat. I think that both of them need each other. And the nation needs both of them. Look, ta-da. Look, can we all get along? I love fighting, but this makes me nervous. It makes me incredibly nervous. So, yeah. Is it 11DD chess? I don't think it is. I think that this is just the sign of the times. I think this is what happens when you have two titans who come together in this fashion and they duke it out. And it all is played out very publicly for a society that loves the public fight. It's like our new gladiators. This is what we have progressed to. We're going to have more on this coming up, but this is exactly what we progressed to. We're also going to get into some of the reactions to all of this and how this is the biggest fight, I think, on the right since 2008, 2009. I really do believe that. So let's be real. Medical freedom isn't just a catchphrase. It's your right. Your health decisions belong to you and not the government, not Big Pharma, and definitely not some unelected bureaucrat. So that's why I'm all in on what All Family Pharmacy is doing. They're putting medical power back where it belongs, and that's in the hands of you, Americans. Through the end of June, they're making it even easier to take back control, because when you control your health, you protect your family, your future, and your freedom. Get 20% off site-wide. No insurance, no problem. No insurance needed. And licensed doctors in all 50 states. You'll also receive fast shipping straight to your doorstep. This isn't just about convenience. It's also about freedom. You can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. You can get methylene blue, emergency kits, antibiotics, whatever you need to be prepared, proactive, and protected. So visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use promo code Dana20 to get 20% off your order. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, code Dana20. Don't wait for permission. Own your health and take your freedom seriously.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The reactions to this have been pretty interesting. Before I get into that, I wanted to play this flashback just really quickly. Audio soundbite 2, where Elon Musk had sat next to Trump and explained this. He said that this was his position from the beginning. So for some of the reactionaries that were out there saying that, well, Elon Musk should have brought this up, I would think that this audio soundbite was kind of a clear indication of where he stood. Listen.
Provided the economy grows faster than the money supply, which means you stop the government overspending and the waste, and the output of real useful goods and services exceeds the increase in the money supply, you have no inflation. And you also drop the interest payments that people pay. The reason the interest payments are so high is because the national debt keeps increasing. So the government is competing to sell debt with the private citizens. This drives up the interest rate. If you cut back on the deficit, you actually have an amazing situation for people, because you get rid of inflation and you drop the interest rates. Hmm. And that means people's mortgage payments go down, their credit card payments go down, their car payments go down, their student loans go down. Their life becomes more affordable and their standard of living improves.
He gets it. He gets it. For the first time ever, I think I'm going to actually seriously disagree with Chip Roy. Chip Roy remarked on this when he said that Musk crossed a line. Audio soundbite 8.
You have big personalities. Again, I think Elon crossed the line today.
Has Trump crossed the line threatening to cancel his contracts?
Look, I mean, let those guys go play it out. But I mean, right now, I'm focused on doing the job that the president came here to do. We're happy to work with the White House, work with our friends to finish the job. And we got a lot of work.
I don't think he crossed the line. Do you think he crossed the line? I don't think he crossed the line.
Musk?
Yeah.
So you don't think the Epstein thing that he tweeted out was over the line?
Okay, you're talking about, if we're going to talk about where the line was the line accusing Ted Cruz of being the killer of JFK? I mean, where's the line? The line's been gone for a long time, guys.
It's Ted Blair.
We're not going to turn into giant female copulatory organs right now because of this, are we? I mean, everybody's been slinging the feces for quite a long time. I am not going to have a bunch of people who are out there like simp, cuck this, simp that. I'm not going to have people going, that was okay. Too mean. No, there's no, welcome to politics 2.0, baby. That's what this is. Everybody gets bitch slapped. Everybody. Bring it on. That's what this is. So, no, I don't think he crossed the line. And I also think, I mean, he didn't put out, look, I do not think that Trump hated Jeffrey Epstein, by the way. Didn't he ban him from Mar-a-Lago? Like, he banned him before banning Epstein was a thing. He thought he was a weirdo. He thought he was a pervert. If there was any kind of association there, I think it maybe was a business one, because there was a time when Trump had a little bit of a rocky road financially. He came back from it. I mean, people go through this all the time. And I think that maybe that was the association. But he had banned him. He was running him down in the press like for a long time. So I don't believe that. Also, if there had been anything, Democrats would have had it and they would have leaked it for forever ago. My gosh, they literally were making up stories about Russian collusion. But do I think it was too far? No. Do I wish that they would have handled this privately? Of course, but they didn't. So, you know, we could sit here and be like, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. We could do this all day long. The reality is that they didn't handle it that way. So here's where it is. All right. Some of the other reactions. I just disagree with Chip Royce. Who was it that I'm not a fan of Steve Bannon just because I've known him for over a decade and I used to work with him. So I have a little bit of an inside track. I think when you start talking about deporting people who are here as citizens, and he's a citizen, he is an American citizen. And this also sounds like Marxism. Listen to this. This is so stupid. The only time I'm going to play this on my program.
Know anything. He's a know-it-all. He knows some engineering. Don't get me wrong. I give a hat tip for that. But he doesn't know anything about the real world. Doge was, and for any fanboys that still exist, while you're wrapping up in your cape tonight, understand on Doge, he didn't find any fraud. There's plenty of fraud out there. This is President Trump's first complaint. Well, was this all BS, right, with the Doge? That President Trump should be taking immediately, I think, when he threatens to take one of the big programs out of SpaceX, President Trump tonight should sign an executive order calling for the Defense Production Act to be called in SpaceX and seize SpaceX tonight before midnight.
Okay, that's just plain stupid. That's one of the dumbest things that's like drunk girl logic. That's drunk chick logic. I just think, you know, that maybe we should just seize that. No, that's not what we're doing. I mean, for crying out loud, are we going to be statist about this now, too? Just because, so if we disagree with someone, we're going to bring on the full force of government to start seizing companies and do it. No, we're not, because you know why? Because we're not Californians. We're not Democrats. We're not Biden. We're not Newsom. So we're not going to sit here and do this stuff. And I just find it incredibly ironic for worthless people to complain about the worthlessness of others. But that being said, this is just dumb. Steve Bannon, again, I've known him for over a decade and I worked with him. So I have insight. He's just jealous. And that's what all of this is. If you've noticed anybody that's ever gotten into too close to Trump and Trump's orbit, he would react that way. I do not trust a guy like Bannon who all starry eyed led this notoriously bad progressive journalist through the White House, because I guess he was happy with the attention that he was getting. A guy who literally called Donald Trump Jr. a traitor over the fake story of Russian collusion about him meeting that Natalia Levitskaya, whatever lady with Fusion GPS in a hotel in New York. That was all fake. And he called him a traitor over it. So no, I don't trust someone who turns on a dime like that at all whatsoever. And I also don't trust anyone that would bring down the full weight of the government on someone over just because of a disagreement. Seriously? This is asinine. So, no, I don't disagree. I don't agree with those things. The other issue with this, this is like the biggest fight on the right since 2009. I remember back in the early Tea Party days. This was like 2008, 2009. And the very first fight that we had as the Tea Party was New York's 23rd Congressional District. And you had this woman named Didi Scozzafava who was recruited to run against an actual grassroots conservative named Doug Hoffman. Doug Hoffman, God love him, was a total dork. He is a total dork. You know, I don't mean to say that meanly. He's a very smart individual. And Didi Scozzafava was literally a Democrat up until the moment that she was recruited to run in this congressional district. And we had had enough of it as conservatives and constitutionalists. So I got involved. I created a website called Dump Didi, and we went ham. We went ham and we threatened the establishment. If you're not going to let the conservative grassroots win, we're going to defecate all over this race. And we did. We just destroyed everything. It just was pure chaos. We were the Joker. We were going to watch the world burn as a way to win one over the establishment, because the biggest fight in that point wasn't against Democrats. It was against the establishment. And I remember I got into a big argument with Newt Gingrich about it. And Gingrich, to his credit, he was the guy who brokered the truce between the Republican Party and the Tea Party. You wouldn't have the House Freedom Caucus, I think, without Gingrich smartly, really with a lot of foresight, getting involved, brokering that truce. He got it. He came around. And we eventually got Trump because of all of those efforts. Now this coalition risks splitting in half because the right still hasn't learned how to manage it. And we're going to get into all of that here as well. Will progressives still key Teslas? That's the biggest thing. I don't know. Will they? Remains to be seen. We got more on that. Hey, folks. So I want to share something important that every American should be aware of. We're seeing a lot of economic uncertainty right now. You have the national debt rising, global trade tensions impacting markets, and tariffs with higher prices on the stuff that everybody uses every day. It's not about panic. It's about preparation. So this is why I partnered with Goldco, the top-rated precious metals company, to help you take a step towards protecting your financial future. Smart investors look to hard assets like gold and silver to help weather the storm. It's a strategy that's been used for generations. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit that breaks it all down for you. And if you qualify, you could receive unlimited bonus silver, real silver, matched to your account with no taxes or penalties. It's a smart move that could help you feel more secure with what lies ahead. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to get started. That's DanaLikesGold.com and move forward with confidence.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So do people still need to worry about their Teslas being keyed? Or do they have to worry doubly now about the people who are mad at Elon Musk because he argued with Trump? Is it going to be like one of those, that meme where they come together and they grab hands and it's like progressives and, you know, like the most hardcore MAGA folks? Because I think most MAGA is like, we hope they get, you know, make up and get along. But there are some out there like, no, cancel him now, cancel all the contracts, seize his companies. I just don't know if it's, if dudes are different. It's hard for me to say, first off, it's hard for anybody to say who's not in this class of dudes. I mean, we're not frillionaires. I don't have 11 gajillion dollars. Do you? No, I don't. I paid what I mean, even if I did, I'd have to pay most of it in tax. But I don't know if can it be repaired. I don't know if he's ever going to go back to like first buddy status. You know, he was first buddy. And there I feel like it was kind of brewing within some of Trump's inner circle. I will say that, you know, this time around, there are fewer leaks. There aren't any leaks, and that's good. But I also think that you still have the same competing factions. And I think that people get jealous if they see somebody's getting too close or influential where it concerns Trump. And so they get in there and they plant those seeds. You know what I mean? And I think some of that was this, because we had, and we've talked about it on the program, a lot of the stories about how Elon wouldn't leave and Elon's already always there. He's always there with Trump. I don't know. But so what's going to happen? What's going to happen to Trump's Tesla? Adios on by 10. Peter Doocy was asked about that. He was talking about that a little bit here. Listen.
Demo on the South Lawn a few months ago to try to help Elon Musk's business while it was being vandalized. We're told that that Tesla still sitting there, the red Tesla with Florida tags, is either going to be given away or sold off. And we are told that it was about a month that Elon Musk was wearing thin on Trump. So this was not a sudden exit and then blow up. There was about a month that he was wearing thin, the president's word. Something else, there was some...
So we kind of saw that happening, but I guess nobody's going to key it, obviously, there at the White House. No. But to me, that kind of also suggests... I don't think they're going to, it's going to go back to first buddy. If they do mend fences, it is going to be in a more, they're going to have a more traditional association, I think. You disagree. You think that I don't think he can go back to first buddy.
I don't disagree necessarily, but I think guys handle conflict a little bit differently.
Kane is correct. They do handle, but do you go back though? And you know how Trump is.
Yeah. Yeah, we all do.
Trump.
We all do.
I don't know about Musk as much as I know about Trump. So Democrats are all excited, though. I feel like they think that they're going to get Musk. Yeah. They're so excited. He's not going to go back to you, you stalkers. He's not going to. He doesn't like the big spending. Why do Democrats think if Musk is opposed to the big spending that's in the bill, in the big, beautiful bill, he wants a slimmer and more beautiful bill, then being a Democrat would be like embracing that on steroids. So no, he's not going to go back. If you're switching your ideology just based on spats like that, that's so stupid. And I think this is a spat that just happened to happen very publicly. I don't know how that's going to work, though. The coalition does risk splitting. I'm not quite sure. Remember, this is CNN's Chris Zelizza. He was talking about how his Tesla had been vandalized at his son's, his kid's soccer game. Soccer match. Watch this.
A soccer tournament for my son. And we parked my car, which is a Tesla, and we went and watched the game. And when he and I came back, there was something attached to it that was not there when we had left. It was this.
Aww.
Someone had taped
so lame.
A sign, Musk is a Nazi.
That's a chick.
To my car. Now, they obviously had pre-written this, or they have a bunch of them. Right?
Nobody
but Musk is a Nazi, taped to my car. So this is the first time I've experienced the sort of politics of Elon Musk.
Well, now you don't know. Now you don't know. Who could it be? You know, you have no idea. It could be a couple of different factions now. I just don't know if it's going to, if they're going to go back to the way it was. Part of the problem of this is a lot of this was caused by unrealistic campaign promises. Don't go out and tell people that you're not going to tax Social Security if you're going to tax Social Security. Now, Mike Johnson said yesterday that this bill had already been 14 months in the making. Again, how long has Trump been in the White House? Okay, so it's the swamps bill. But if it's the swamps bill and all of this stuff has kind of been floating in it draft form, and you can just kick on over, you know, to these subcommittees and or these committees, and you can and see what's being added and what isn't, you know, then you know that certain things are in it that are going to make it impossible for certain campaign promises to be brought to fruition, particularly immediately. Although for voters, 5 months seems like a lifetime. When you are overburdened and dealing with inflation, 5 months seems like a lifetime. When you're a business owner and you're trying to plan in advance, this kind of time seems like a lifetime. So a lot of these unrealistic campaign promises, things like, oh, well, we're not going to, you know, the no tax on Social Security, or we're going to make these things permanent. But the taxes aren't permanent in the big, beautiful bill. And that's one of the things that a lot of people have been objecting to. And yes, you're raising the debt ceiling, all of this stuff. I mean, you know, this has been, I think, Musk's criticism from the beginning. But a lot of it also isn't as much as it is Trump. A lot of it is shared by these congressional Republicans, because Trump can say one thing and say, I want to do this, let's get this done. But you've seen the inaction from these congressional Republicans. Just not good. Are you still a fascist? Audio Soundbite 15. If you remember Neil Young's new hit song that nobody knows because it's such a hit. Are you a fascist if you still have one, or has that changed because of opinion? Listen.
If you're a fascist, get a Tesla.
Gosh.
It's electric.
It's like what?
It doesn't matter.
Getting a toddler.
You're a Democrat.
I'm sorry, I just am not a fan. So are you a fascist if you have a Tesla now, or has that changed because, oh, wait a minute, Elon got in a fight with someone I don't like, so I guess he's not a fascist anymore. Is it just that situational? What is the resolution, though? How does this... The left won with this. Not by their own hand, but the left won. This was a spat that they wanted. And everybody, not all of us, but a lot of people leaned into it, particularly DC Republicans. So I'm just... How do you get... You gave the left a victory. And now we're going to be going into midterms? There's a lot of pressure for these two to reconcile. A lot of pressure for them to reconcile. Going into midterms with this, having them fight is going to be a huge anchor on the neck of a lot of people running for office. And we're already concerned with how well Republicans are going to do in the House. I mean, it's razor thin in the House and the Senate. This gets super dangerous here. This is when it gets really, really, I get very nervous about the real life implications of this spat. Because, you know, when we watched it unfold in real time, you know, it's kind of funny. Ha ha. You know, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. Oh my gosh, they're still tweeting at each other. It's a tweet off. Yeah. But what are the real world implications of this? How is this? And it's, I don't think it's a psyop, Kane. Someone said, well, what if it's like 11DD chess? And this is just to get people off of Elon's back. First off, I don't think Trump works that way. And I really don't think Musk does either.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
I had to kind of laugh when I saw this headline. Black Panther's son looks white. I don't know if you guys saw this story. So apparently Marvel has a new Black Panther per a lot of sources, all the comic reporting sources. And they're saying that the new Marvel comics, Today's the World to Come, the first one, it features a new Black Panther because T'Challa gets, you know, he's old, right? And everybody's like, that dude looks white. And I don't know, there's a lot of questions about it. And a lot of people are up in arms. I don't know anything about his like backstory. Like, you know, who is the new Black Panther's mom? Why does he look white? You know, I don't get it. I mean, but people are upset. Well, he took off his mask and he had blonde hair and blue eyes and apparently pale skin. So people are like, well, how is the future king of Wakanda white? It's like Mean Girls. Like, if you're from Africa, how are you white? Gosh, Karen, you can't just ask that. They think that his identity is going to even be hidden on the cover of the third issue of The World to Come. And that's the upcoming issues of, you know, the Marvel story. So they're saying that the art appears to show T'Challa shows him with two sons, the original Black Panther with two sons, hinting that the one who beat him in battle was actually mothered by the character who first appeared in the 1970s Avenger number 77, the Avengers number 77, and was apparently romantically linked with the original Black Panther when he was studying in the United States. So now there's like a lot of challenges over this legacy character who is celebrated for, you know, being a character in Black culture. And there's a lot. I was actually reading a piece about Wakanda and Afrofuturism came, and how that, you know, it plays into this, you know, Black Panther and Marvel history. Is this going to be a big deal, though? Is it going to be White Panther? It's Albino Panther. Albino Panther doesn't really have the ring to it, does it?
No.
I just seems, that's like saying hairless cat. It's just weird. I don't know. Like, I don't.
Like, yeah, what? Do you get superhero vibes after the mask comes off? I've seen, it's so funny seeing the reaction, though, because you know how the woke left has been doing weird things by making Snow White and, you know, and midgets and stuff. Can we say midgets? Oh, man.
I don't think you can. Thanks. Now we're canceled. Little people. Now we're canceled. Bye, guys.
Sorry.
Bye. And that's the show. Gosh, you can't do that.
But they're changing everything that we once knew. Traditionally.
I mean, I'm ready for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Mulan, right? I mean, that's going to happen next. That's going to be the next thing that happens. I just, as long as things are faithful to the story, so Juan's showing you simulcast, that's the new White Panther.
Is this canon, though? Is this like something?
You're asking, I don't know. I mean, it's,
Because if it is, his mom is canon.
His mom comes back from his mom's from the 70s, apparently. So there's a lot of people that are a little, you know, a little mad about it.
So this is true to the storyline then.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it seems. I don't. There's going to be a lot of
meltdown.
Yeah, it's not going to. Yeah. People, if he's like on the throne of Wakanda, I don't think people are going to react. And I mean, if it's canon, that's one thing. And if it has, you know, if it's integral to the storyline, I get it. But at the same time, I don't like it either way. Doing something just because you're trying to seem inclusive. Like, if Black Panther is supposed to be like a Black Panther, then don't make him White Panther. Like, you know, let's not. The same way you would not change Mulan. That's like part of their story. Or like Harry Potter, you know, with Snape. Because him being a pale, sickly looking white dude, that actually plays into kind of the playoff that J.K. Rowling was making about bigotry and all of that stuff. So I don't know. I've got some questions. Of course, this is Disney. Disney ruins everything that they touch. I mean, you remember, this is Audio Sun by 20, their corporate president, Carrie Burke. Remember when they did this like video call and she was talking about having all the alphabet characters in their stories, like even when it was completely unnecessary? Listen.
I'm here as a mother of two queer children, actually. One transgender child.
She's so proud of that.
And one pansexual child. And also as a leader.
She has Birkins.
And that was the thing that really got me, because I have heard so much from so many of my colleagues over the course of the last couple of weeks, in open forums and through emails and phone conversations. And I feel a responsibility to speak, not just for myself, but for them, to all of us. We had an open forum last week at 20th where, again, the home of really incredible, groundbreaking LGBTQIA stories over the years, where
she talks about her, by the way, she talks about her kids. This is the corporate president, Carrie Burke, the way she's like, well, one of them's pansexual. It's like she's going, I have two Birkins and one is a Himalayan Birkin. Which, if you don't know that, that's like the priciest thing that you can get. And only the super richest people that have super yachts in Monaco can afford to get those things. But she talks about it like they're accessories. And mine, my kid's not just queer. It's a special queer child. Yours is just plain, boring, broke, basic, Target, great value queer. Mine's pansexual queer. I mean, how many other words can you put in front of it? But that was like what they, that's the kind of stuff that they focus on. So are you shocked that Disney's deciding to ruin something else? I mean, you saw what they did with Star Wars. Now, I don't know. I don't know if it's canon or not. It just seems part of the trend. Let's ruin things. Let's ruin stories. Let's do all of this. Of course, you know, it's not affecting Bob Iger's paycheck. Nope. He made $41.1 million in 2024. Now, I don't mind people being rich. I don't mind people being capitalists, because if you're a capitalist and you become a multimillionaire, it gives hope for all those other poor bastards out there. It gives everybody some hope, right? Like, they can do it too. Although I feel like he's being rewarded unnecessarily, because Disney has sucked out loud lately, like for a while lately, not just completely oversaturating everything with Star Wars and ruining it, but also the comic after comic after comic movie, oversaturating that and then ruin a lot of these characters. So does he deserve it? I don't know. I mean, he's still living the fairy tale life at Disney. I guess at least somebody is now. Somebody is. I mean, to say nothing of the trans influencer, we did a short on that, about that individual getting misgendered. They like whole trans adult culture at Disney. Check this out real fast.
Looking cool.
The bottom is from Thailand.
Coconut bread from Thailand.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Ma'am.
Yeah, ma'am.
Really,
it's ma'am. And
can you tell from the ears?
Is from India. It's a Papadom de ginger per chetney.
Okay.
And the third is from Brazil.
He's just mad.
Cheese bread with the guava sauce.
He's big mad. Tell you. That does it for us this Friday, folks. Thanks for watching. Like and subscribe and find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse as well. Dana Lash here signing off. Back with you Monday.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.